to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
When they come in there, it is with one plan for this woman, and the plan is that they get an abortion. We would censor magazines. We would go through and we would cut out pictures of babies, pictures of diapers.
Whatever our group, whether male or female, Jew or Greek, again, all of those categories have become so important again today. It doesn't matter when you've been baptized into Christ. He gives us a different identity.
He'll give you what you need. It's an eternal peace. It's in Him. And He absolutely will give you what you need each day. Pray to Him and say, Lord Jesus, You are my peace.
Dear Lord, let Your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Into Your hands I commend myself, my body, and soul. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And fathers watching their four-month-old daughters love listening to Issues, Etc.
It is very easy to panic, or maybe not panic, feel more anxious than we ought. Jesus says, do not be anxious about anything. Does He really mean it? Even stuff like the coronavirus? Don't be anxious about that when schools are shutting down, when Major League Baseball says, we're going to just wait for 2 weeks to see what happens, when institutions that we are depending on, like government institutions, are contemplating closing down as well. Isn't it time for anxiety? Isn't it time for maybe even a little panic? There are a lot of people who would like to see that happen. Maybe even the devil would like to see that happen. How do Christians look at situations like this differently? They think and act differently simply because they are Christians. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about a Christian response to coronavirus. Pastor Dan Torkelson will be our guest. We will review the movie The Invisible Man with Pastor Ted Geese. We'll talk a little bit about the Quranic teachings, the Islamic teachings of theological anthropology, that is, what is man, what is his nature, is there sin? Oddly, Muslims believe that everyone is born a Muslim. They only change afterwards. Then we'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a Christian response to the coronavirus, Pastor Dan Torkelson. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church and Preschool in North Prairie, Wisconsin, first vice president of the South Wisconsin District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a column for The Federalist titled, How Christians Can Respond to a World Anxious About Wuhan Coronavirus. Dan, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. How are you? Are you well?
I am well. Yes, for now I am well.
Good.
Talk about, and I was thinking about this while driving into work today, how easy it is for Christians to think like unbelievers when faced with something as uncertain as the coronavirus and all of its fallout.
Yeah, that's what motivated writing the article, actually. I've seen this with, I guess, other epidemics in the past. I think it's important to remember that Christians bear sinful natures, which is to say we're still prone to temptation. We're prone to the sort of basic fears that all humans are prone to. I think in the case of coronavirus especially, you're seeing Christians have to grapple with two of the basic fears that, again, that everyone's dealing with. One is the fear of death, which is probably the greatest of all fears. And the other is the fear of the unknown. The coronavirus is a new strain. We don't know a lot about it. We are, you know, dependent on media sources for information, and this kind of amps up our anxiety and makes it hard to establish a noticeable difference between us and our Christian faith and the rest of the unbelieving world.
You say that panic is not an option for the Christian. What do you mean by that?
Well, if worry You mentioned in your introduction Jesus' words about anxiety. If anxiety and worry requires little to no faith, if it reveals that we do not always trust in the goodness and grace of God, apostasy seems to be the word for panic. In the case of panic, we are literally at this point, I think, running away from God. Our fears have just taken control. And in that case, we really are saying that the only ones we trust in matters concerning our bodies and our lives is ourselves, and we can't count on God anymore. So I really feel that panic or hysteria, I think where we're at right now after yesterday's news cycle probably is best described as a certain form of hysteria. Either way, this is not consistent with faith. And it says if we as Christians are practicing it, we're saying to our God we're not trusting Him to deliver us through this.
Let's talk about some of the false comforts that tempt us in situations like this. I'm just going to throw a few out, and I'd like your response to
sure.
them. And that is one of them is just, well, we've been through worse things before, or this will be over soon. How is that a false comfort?
Well, I think you have to take every situation as it is. Coronavirus is a serious matter. The sort of maybe a lighthearted or thoughtless approach fails, I think, to show proper concern, not just for yourself, but mainly for the neighbor. You do want to, I think, engage all of these at a certain sort of serious level for the sake of everyone involved. It's important to think of all of society in a matter like this.
Another one might be, well, you know, in spite of what I think about the person of the White House or on the other side of the aisle, the government must have a plan for this, and that's what will see us through.
Yeah, well, here I think I kind of rely a little bit more on my just my overall Americanness in saying that because we are a government by the people and for the people, we should be concerned to see to it that our government is taking appropriate action. In the article, I don't really say a lot about that. I do mention that the president's tweeting doesn't help at times because I think it sends the wrong message. But at least at the policy level, I don't see anything right now to be terribly critical of. But it's important to look and see. It's important to avail yourself of the information that is out there.
What about the false comfort? And this is a little more particular to the kind of the political mood of the day. It's all fake news. They're just propping this up. Maybe something's happening, but they're just propping this up to hurt Donald Trump.
Yeah, explain to me how that's a false comfort.
Well, I mean, someone says it's fake news. It's not really happening to the extent
that
everyone seems to say they are.
Right. I think that's just simple denial, and we do live in the world. Our task as Christians is to live in the world, but not of the world. And as long as we live in the world, this is a real thing. There's numbers on it. We may not be able to trust all the numbers from all the sources, but it's quite possible that in a short matter of time, a good many of us are going to have at least known someone who was exposed or maybe contracted it. I don't think it's a matter of we have the time to live in that sort of blissful ignorance. As Christians, it's important to, again, without going to worry or issues of control, at least have our finger on the pulse of the situation in order to be best help to others.
We're talking with Pastor Dan Torkelson, A Christian Response to Coronavirus. He's author of a column for The Federalist titled How Christians Can Respond to a World Anxious About Wuhan Coronavirus. We'll be right back.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we will wrap up our study of John with Jesus Restores Peter and Peter Asks About John's Future. Then on to Hebrews. In these days, he's spoken by a son, Jesus and the angels, and how to guard against drifting away. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org. And on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1939, the British Army received an Enigma machine that helped them crack the secret Nazi codes in World War II. In the March issue of the Lutheran Witness, the Reverend Sam Schultheitz writes about the Screwtape Letters, a book written by C.S. Lewis, a type of Enigma machine for deciphering the temptations of Satan. Read the March issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about the Screwtape Letters and how Satan tempts us today. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a Christian response to the coronavirus. Pastor Dan Torkelson is our guest. Dan, why do you begin with the words of Jesus, "Do not be anxious"?
It's a pretty good, comprehensive and gospelly reasoned argument Jesus is making there. The anxiety he warns against seems to cover almost all aspects of life. You know, why do you worry about food, clothing, the basic necessities of life? God takes care of the lilies. He takes care of the ravens. So how much more will he take care of you? This argument against anxiety is rooted in the goodness of God. And ergo, since anxiety is the first response, or reaction, I should say, that many people will have to news like the coronavirus, I think it's important to hear our Lord's words first on this. The Old Testament has plenty of exhortations as well to stay away from anxiety. I would add another argument, and that is sort of beyond Jesus' words, and that is, when was the last time we saw panic or excessive anxiety do anything good for anyone? I think that just demonstrates the overall truth of Jesus' words, because I really can't think of a time when it ever has been good for us.
What is wrong with taking lightly the news about the virus and its spread?
Like we said before the break, it is a serious matter, and I think we have to think beyond ourselves here as well. We have to think about our neighbor's well-being and what our actions and our behavior may do to either help protect our neighbor or to potentially ensure that they might come into exposure with something like the coronavirus. I think it's important to just simply always keep a global picture in all of this, which is why I do not recommend dismissing the news of the virus's spread at all.
What is the difference between concern and worry or anxiety?
Yeah, well, we've been talking largely here about concern. Concern is, I think, reflects a desire to take necessary precautions for our own sake and our neighbors. I think if you want to learn more about coronavirus, you can do that without necessarily being worried about it. I think it behooves us to try to learn what we can about it, as well as how best to fight it off. But when all of that moves over into issues of control over our lives and concerns of that we might be losing control, or we might have a lack of control or a lack of ability to avoid this, and that becomes preoccupying, I think at this point it starts to become a first commandment issue: you shall have no other gods. And we cannot let the coronavirus or ourselves or our own health trump our trust in God, who has been good to us all the days of our lives, however many he's numbered out for us.
We're hearing a lot about social distancing, and there's certainly a responsible way to engage in that. But are we also called to care for those who have actually contracted the virus?
Yes, yes, we have. I suppose you've probably seen, Pastor Wilkin, a story circulating on social media from Pathéus about Martin Luther's response to the Black Plague in Wittenberg in 1527. Clearly what he and Katie did by receiving Black Plague victims into their home was, in one sense, heroic, but in our day and age might be considered insane. In my humble opinion, we have a responsibility to our neighbor regardless of the situation. In the essay, I basically say, if you have a neighbor who's contracted the virus and you're the only means by which they can get medical attention, yeah, as a Christian, we are, I believe, obligated under love to bear all for the sake of that neighbor. I think the Good Samaritan, in as much as it speaks about good works, and I don't think that parable is entirely about that, but in as much as it does, definitely shows us that we need to be willing to take those risks for the sake of love for our neighbor.
How would you counsel Christians to engage the media on this issue?
Well, I, in truth, not much differently than I already do on most issues. One of the things that I see with the modern mainstream news media is just simply that we can talk about bias. I don't disagree with that, that there's bias in the media. But I also think that there are certain logistical challenges that make the media sometimes not very reliable anyway. Because we live in a day and age of instant gratification and we have the technology to provide information at such a high rate of speed, I think it's important to understand the media is very capable of making mistakes, and also with that immediacy amping up the intensity of the discussion. If we are facing a low-level panic or hysteria in the United States right now over coronavirus, there's no question in my mind that the media plays a role in this. So I think what I often tell Christians, especially when I see them getting anxious about anything on the media, I remember giving this advice to my mother when she was in the nursing home and had all the time in the world to watch Fox News, which wasn't good for her necessarily in those doses. I remember telling her, turn off the television. Separate yourself from it. Go read a book. Listen to some music. Do something that relaxes you. Go take a walk, you know, whatever. I've been giving that advice as a pastor now for a long time, because in 23 years in the ministry, there hasn't been a minute of it where there wasn't at least 24/7, 365 cable news media going on. The internet became its own problem later in my ministry, but I think at the end of the day, Christians just need to remember not to let the media again become an idol, not to let information that comes from the media become an idol. And I do think Christians need to engage a certain kind of unanxious critical thinking with information that they do get from the media. Just around noon today, I disabled notifications from my Smart News app because I was just getting tired of it. It wasn't a matter really of ratcheting up my anxiety so much as I just needed a break. And I think if Christians feel that need, they should act on it. It doesn't make us good citizens to just be glued to the media all the time, or faithful Christians for that matter either.
What is the Christian's hope, even if, as everyone is concerned, things get much, much worse?
Well, we Christians are in the win-win here, and I think the world likes to accuse us of being a little trite with this argument, but I don't believe it's trite at all. I mean, Paul wrote in the first chapter of Philippians that his existence in his life in prison, which he didn't believe at this point that he was going to get out alive, that he was going to die there, meant that he was not torn between life and death as if being torn between a good and a bad thing. He saw it as being caught between a good thing and an even better thing. He longed to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But if there was a way that he'd be released and he'd have a chance to go visit the Philippians, that would be a good thing too. And I think, for instance, if I were to contract the coronavirus, I'm still in that position. I'm in that position between a good thing and an even better thing. If I should be a victim of it and die, well, I get to receive eternal life and look forward to the resurrection from the vantage point of heaven and Christ's presence. But if I should recover and continue to be a husband to my wife and a father to my children and a pastor to the people that God's given me to serve, I win that way too. I made a reference to a pastor friend who loves to joke about this, that he's terrible at hospital visits, because he says whether you exit the hospital out the front door or out the back door, you win either way if you're a Christian. That sounds a little crass, but he says it with a twinkle in his eye, and he's right. I don't think fear of death is something that we Christians are necessarily allowed, since where death leads, at least for us, is to depart and be with Christ, which is far better.
Finally, with a minute here, Dan, how is it part of our Christian witness to react, to think, to behave differently at times like this?
You know, the preacher to the Hebrews uses a word 14 different times in that book. He uses the word better, and in every case, it's a reference to the gospel in some sort of way, that he wanted his hearers to understand that the gospel that we have in Christ, the gospel of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, is better than any other message out there. And right now, when you have a pandemic like coronavirus to really show it to you, you really see how modern philosophies and modern ways of thinking and all of our modern technological advantages are not serving us well if the best we can do is just simply get anxious and panic. So this is a great opportunity for us to put the face of Christ on a situation, to be loving to our neighbor and to take care of ourselves at the same time as best we should, but at least to put forward the gospel and show that there's not just one way to respond to this, that there are better ways to respond to it, and indeed with the gospel, ways that also are more helpful to the world and to our neighbor.
Pastor Dan Torkelson is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church and Preschool in North Prairie, Wisconsin. He's first vice president of the South Wisconsin District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of a column for The Federalist titled How Christians Can Respond to a World Anxious About Wuhan Coronavirus. Read it for yourself under the Listen on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dan, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. God's blessings to you.
We will be reviewing the movie The Invisible Man with Pastor Ted Geese on the other side of the break. It's an interesting take on a novel by H.G. Wells. Not exactly the same, but maybe even a little more personal. We'll find out what that's all about next. The Issues Etc. book of the month for March is for children ages 4 through 7. See My Savior's Hands is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. Learn more about See My Savior's Hands at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. See how Jesus' hands tell the story of his life, death, resurrection, and love for us in See My Savior's Hands. A great Easter gift for young children, grandchildren, and godchildren. See My Savior's Hands.
Augustana Lutheran Church in Moscow, Idaho invites you to receive the gifts of Christ with us. We preach Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins, risen from the dead for your justification and life. Confessional, sacramental, liturgical. We're a new Missouri Synod congregation on the Palouse. We meet Sundays near the University of Idaho, 1015 West C Street. Bible study 9 a.m., divine service at 10. Find us on Facebook or visit moscowlutheran.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive word and sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, President of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.